This podcast does contain spoilers, so if you're okay with that, listen on. If not, pause the podcast, go watch the movie we're about to talk about, and come on back.
All right, sweet.
Excuse me.
Brian, over here. Hey.
Pardon me.
Why don't you have the popcorn? It's starting!
Woo!
Hey!
Shut up and listen to the podcast. Hey!
There's a lot out there to see. This is what we watched.
The tagline of this episode is shut the fuck up.
Did we slate, by the way?
We haven't done anything, dude. I wanted a cold open because you were going to bring up a good topic, and then we move completely off of it.
Oh, you mean how the porn industry can utilize AI so that we stop exploiting real people? Even though, if they want to do it, they're welcome to, and I'm not going to shame them, but, you know, maybe they just learn AI themselves, and they don't have to put themselves at risk, and then they can make money off of it.
Learn AI.
The porn stars could learn AI, and then just create AI without having to put themselves at risk.
What if they like it?
And then they can still make money off of...
What if that's what they want to do?
That's what he's saying, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If they want to do it, fine. But, like, there is an alternate option.
Mm.
There's a lot of alternate options.
And AI is one of them.
AI is definitely one of them. There's also...
I'm not going to lie, I don't think I'm going to watch an AI-generated...
It'll come so far you won't even know.
You'll come so far you won't even know.
You know.
Welcome to the podcast. God. Welcome to What We Watched.
What We Watched. Woo!
This is a movie review podcast. It's a movie review podcast for movie lovers, TV lovers, and for those who like pop culture references, because good God, we got a lot of pop culture
references
today.
Holy shit.
Yeah, we got a doozy of an episode for you guys today. My name's Brandon. I've got the Fallout Boys with me again. I couldn't get Patrick or Pete or the other guys, so unfortunately we have to do with Matt Plimpton and Luke Antonio. Guys, thanks so much for being here.
Go fuck yourself.
Alrighty
Let's
then.
Let's fucking go.
Let's fucking do this,
That
guys.
Is going to be the tagline of this episode, I swear. Let's fucking go or shut the fuck up.
Go fuck yourself is a Wolverine reference.
That too, but I'm saying let's fucking go. That was the tagline of the movie that we all watched.
Well, and today we are talking a very spoiler-heavy... I know we do it in the intro. I made a point to put this in on the podcast.
This is the most spoiler
but
heavy
I will
episode.
Reiterate here. This is if you guys have not watched the Deadpool and Wolverine and you want to avoid spoilers, go watch the movie first and come back and listen to the podcast. Yeah. But we're happy to have you. We are talking Deadpool and Wolverine.
Oh, such
the
a great
massive
movie.
Fucking loved it.
Massive blockbuster that just came out. So we're recording on the Monday after opening weekend. It is already one of the biggest movies of all time. Sorry, one of the biggest R-rated movies
yes,
of all time.
Yeah, and it's nothing new for Deadpool. Nothing new for Ryan Reynolds.
Which is insane to me is that I forgot how good the first and second Deadpools have done.
Mm-hmm. Do you have those stats?
Deadpool 2 did not do as well as Deadpool 1.
You're right, it didn't do as
However,
well.
However, it still didn't do bad.
Well, Deadpool 1 was the set the record for the highest grossing R-rated film.
But you know what was before that?
But this is, I feel like I should
know. In terms
know.
Of superhero movies?
What?
It was Blade.
Oh, was it? Huh.
Yeah.
Our first Blade reference today.
Oh, there's going to be so many Blade references. I am still so curious. Slight spoiler, spoiler heavy podcast, but... They got Wesley Snipes.
I don't even see Blade on here. Yeah. Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. I thought he was definitely. I thought his movie definitely was.
Yeah,
it definitely set the tone for what Marvel was going to be.
Okay,
in the
it
early
definitely
thousands.
Yes, it set the tone as far as what a superhero movie could be, and I want to get into that here in a second. But I want to give you some numbers because, like I said, this is the Monday afterwards, so we only have opening weekend numbers. Mm-hmm. But it has shattered the record.
Really,
so Deadpool, the first Deadpool, set it with $133.7 million. Do you guys know how much that was domestic? Do you guys know how much Deadpool and Wolverine has done this weekend?
I'm going to say easily over 100 million.
Okay. Well, yes, it shattered the record, but okay.
Oh, it did. Okay. So are we talking billion?
No, not quite.
No, I think
so it's not
like,
Endgame level.
It was like 500 million or
well,
something.
Well, even Endgame, I mean, I think their opening weekend was.
Are you in box office mojo?
Endgame was the fastest to a billion.
It was, but it definitely, I think their opening weekend might have been like 200 million or something like that.
Oh, really?
No, let me double. Well, because I remember check working Endgame. Luke,
they don't have it up yet.
I remember working Endgame.
Yeah.
Oh no. Oh,
we were all talking about how it broke the record.
Right.
Okay, I got it here. Like,
but that was a PG-13, so we're talking R-rated comedies, true. At least. So Deadpool set it with 133 million, or, 133 million. Mm-hmm. Deadpool and Wolverine has opened $100 million bigger than that. It is $233.1 million domestically.
That's phenomenal.
Which is absolutely insane.
Well deserved, though.
And it's almost doubled that globally. So globally, it's over $441 million.
That's fantastic.
Our top rated R box office hits are Deadpool with 363.
That's total, though.
Yeah, lifetime gross. And then the Joker with 335.
I'm not sure what list you're looking at. I'm looking at Box Office Mojo
right
here.
I'm on Box Office Mojo.
And the number one R-rated movie is, maybe you're looking at comedies, the number one R-rated movie so far was from 2004, The Passion of the Christ.
Yeah, number one.
Sorry.
I'm just doing superhero movies.
Oh, you're looking at superhero movies. Yes, yeah. So Deadpool with number two, American Sniper with number three, and then Joker comes in at $335 million,
yep.
Number four. Mm-hmm. Oppenheimer last year rounds it out the top five. Now, if we're looking worldwide, Joker is the only movie to break $1 billion, R-rated movie to break
$1 billion. I think this is going to be the next one.
Honestly, I would not be surprised.
With numbers like this,
it's already at half a billion.
Yeah.
And the just how much people are talking about it.
Yes.
I know I already have plans to see it again.
I have Bye 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 and Like a Prayer stuck in my head on repeat.
Excellent.
So we were talking about this back in May, mm-hmm. I think.
We've been talking about this, at least anticipating this for about
25 years, I
think. No, I'm talking about just like box office and summer blockbusters. Mm-hmm. We need more movies like Deadpool and Wolverine. We need more movies like Twisters, because I know Twisters is doing really well. I guess I shouldn't say we need more like Deadpool and Wolverine, but we need
more Deadpool and Wolverine.
Well, we do.
Well, we need people to go back to the movies. And,
yeah,
and so I'm glad
these are the kinds
this.
Of movies that people will go back to.
Sure. I mean, look at Barbie and Oppenheimer last year was nowhere near anything like this.
But I would never watch Oppenheimer again. I would watch Barbie again.
I'd watch them all again.
Barbie has rewatchability to me.
I think
Oppenheimer doesn't.
Absolutely has rewatchability. I think it's cinematic. Overture is absolutely stunning and definitely well worth a second watch.
Did you see it in IMAX?
I saw it in IMAX. I went to Arizona and I saw it in the IMAX 70 millimeter.
So yeah, it was made for IMAX, mm-hmm. and that's the only way I would watch it again is if it like was back in IMAX.
Okay,
again.
So like a re-release.
Yeah, I would.
That's
fine. It doesn't have like the home couch, you know, put on something kind of feel that Barbie does that Deadpool and Wolverine has.
Although we saw it in 3D.
We did see it in 3D. I don't know if I liked I liked that we saw Matt and I went together. Luke wasn't available, unfortunately. So we went Thursday night and we saw the 3D version of it, but we saw it on a smaller screen. And I feel like we got the weaker cut. I feel like we missed out on the cinematic aspect.
We saw it at AMC. It was like theater 15.
Yeah, because they put it on every screen possible.
Yeah, they were showing it on every possible screen. And they already had so many early showings, mm-hmm. like mid-afternoon, mm-hmm. Thursday before our opening.
Exactly. We're just talking scale of worldwide appeal.
True.
This is absolutely...
Yeah.
Superhero movies are like that typically, though.
Typically are. But if it continues its trajectory, Matt put Hollebeck made a great point to me. We were talking about the movie afterwards, after we saw it, and after he saw it. And he said that Deadpool has a chance to be three of the top five R-rated grossing movies of all time.
Yeah.
And it's just like...
Yeah. Absolutely.
I feel like Deadpool is a lot more of the outlier than mm-hmm. is the rule. And he agrees with me as well, is I don't think need more movies exactly like Deadpool, you know, where it's fourth wall breaky and mm-hmm. it's super up its own ass and it's, you know,
I love those
got
movies.
This, I know you do, but you Jesus, know, it's got this broad, you know, bubblegum look. I think it is the exception to the rule. I really do.
I can see where you're coming from with that.
You know, it's going to be great.
What?
is when Deadpool and Wolverine becomes the second top grossing R-rated movie under Passion of the Christ. Because you'll have
this
Jesus,
is a Jesus movie.
And you'll have Marvel Jesus.
That's true, because in this movie, Wade Watkins Wilson? What's his middle name? It's so, another W.
It's just WWW, and it's the funniest thing to me.
Yeah, but anyway, he says he's Marvel Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I see what they're going for with that, because let's face it, Phase 5 had some of the weakest releases. The Marvels did not do well.
No, it did not. And we talked about that after
the strongest one, I think, was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Or Volume 3.
Or was that end of Phase 4?
No, that was Phase 5.
I think that was
the beginning of Phase 5. Okay.
But that was such a, honestly, a standalone movie in itself.
It really was.
In its own right, kind of like Deadpool and Wolverine is. It's like, it really, you know, Guardians didn't tie in, and Deadpool doesn't really tie in to the overarching MCU and the entire phase.
So here's what I think needs to happen going forward with the MCU. They need to have those more standalone movies. Mm-hmm. The universe is so large now, we don't have to keep bringing it back to the Avengers. Mm-hmm. We just don't.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we don't? So
we
you
don't.
Agree that Tony Stark doesn't need to be Dr. Doom.
Shut up, okay?
That's like, the thing, is Tony Stark isn't Dr. Doom.
He's no, he is. He's not 616 Tony Stark, but he is going to be Tony Stark, alternate universe Tony Stark in the Fantastic Four. And here's my theory.
And the Russos did release that before Secret Wars, it's no longer going to be the Kang Dynasty. It's going to be Doomsday.
Which is unfortunate. I understand why, and I'm never going to support Jonathan Majors, but God damn it. He was just, I wanted to see how that played out. So that storyline play out so bad.
Jonathan Majors was a star.
He was such a huge,
he is a powerhouse of an actor, but then he messed up. And
fuck you, Jonathan Majors.
It really sucks, because I actually really liked his performance as Kang in the Loki series.
Same.
And in Quantumania. He was one of the saving graces.
Absolutely.
And if you ever get a chance, I highly recommend going to Netflix and watching his movie, The Harder They Fall.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Western.
I mean,
it's
also
all about black icons of the Old West just happening to come together. Mm-hmm. And you got a soundtrack by Kid Cudi. It's spectacular. That being said, though, Jonathan Majors messed up his entire career almost as hard as Armie Hammer did.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Lovecraft Country.
Lovecraft Country was
fantastic.
Yeah. Creed 3. I liked Creed 3.
He was like on the rise. He was going to blow up.
Oh, yeah.
And
I know we were talking early in the podcast days about how like we were excited to see Jonathan Majors' career evolve.
Yeah.
And then all this shit happens. And it's like, man, why can't these people just not beat their fucking wives?
How hard is it to understand that everything is public knowledge now? You can't be a fuckhead in this day and age like you could be back when the older actors that are older now, they did a lot of shit back in their day, but it wasn't as well known. It wasn't as widespread. It wasn't as easily accessible.
But they've still suffered for that.
Sort of.
Not
Bill Murray still has a career, and Bill Murray was an asshole back in the day.
True, but so was Chevy Chase. And Chevy Chase has destroyed his career. He shot his career in the foot.
But he kept shooting himself in the foot as we went along.
True. So I think that's the difference, though, is Bill Murray has grown since then.
Yeah.
He has changed, whereas Chevy Chase never did.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the whole point of this podcast. We're talking Deadpool and Wolverine.
I know we
veered off a bit, but there's so many things that this movie does that makes you think of so many other things. And it's also just a very ADHD kind of movie.
It is
all over the place, and yet it's still very focused on its own identity.
Is it?
I think it is.
Okay.
Let's face it, this is one of the biggest things that Marvel has done.
It really is.
When you say its own identity, you mean self-awareness?
Self-awareness.
Because that's what Deadpool is.
Oh, yeah, very much. That's exactly what I'm referring to. It is very aware of its identity, which is ADHD, crassness, violence, in all of its best forms. But this movie, I think, did something truly amazing, which was, how the hell were they going to bring the Fox IPs over Deadpool?
Mm-hmm.
I knew that from the start. That was going to be he was going to be the gateway because of how meta he is, how fourth wall breaking he is, and they did it in such a great way. Like, yes, it is still very lampshady. Like, oh yeah, we're part of Disney now, but they didn't lessen themselves.
Okay.
In fact, they went harder. They were like, no, we're going to say cunt. We're going to say all of the variations of cocaine.
I feel like Walt was turning in his grave.
Who cares about Walt Disney?
Or in his cryo... his cryo prison.
Yeah, who cares what head pool things?
Oh! He was Walt Disney the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Actually, do you know who head pool was?
Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, Nathan Fillion. That's one of the strongest things going for this movie is the cameos. Holy crap.
Absolutely. I 100% agree.
Now, you were laughing pretty hard at one of the cameos. Do you want to tell them who it was?
I'm not sure which one you're referring to.
Oh, so I thought when they went into the void,
sure.
Limbo.
Oh,
I
yes,
it
right
was
away.
Captain America.
Early on, yes.
I was so sure it was a variant of Captain America.
Yes, same.
Turns out,
are we just diving into this? Or?
Oh, I was just fucking... That cameo was honestly... You're right. One definitely, I think, was probably the one that I laughed the hardest at.
Yes.
Now that I'm thinking about it correctly, you're absolutely right, is... I think because they did such a good job of throwing it. A good job of making it look and sound and feel and like lead up and build up and like, oh, he's going to say it, do it and give us all what we want. Right. And then and it just was
it even goes deeper than that, because in the comics, there's a storyline where Cap starts wearing a cloak to conceal his identity.
Oh,
that looks like
really
the one Johnny Storm was wearing.
There's so many references in this movie like deep cuts into the comics and into other movies and just behind the scenes clashes.
Mm-hmm. I found a list
talking about Wesley Snipes. I'm talking about all the variants of Wolverine.
All the variants. So Variety put a list together of the cameos and the Easter eggs, which I'm sure it's a really comprehensive list. I don't know if it's everything. Like you just put, you know, the hooded figure or the, you know, the cloak that he wears is probably, you know, another. So I'm sure that they missed a lot because there seems to be in every frame five or six references.
Absolutely.
Variety has one. So if you guys want, we can send it out. We can put it in the show notes.
I would say do that. Yeah.
But, you know, it's insane. It goes, you know, as far as who some of the variants of Deadpool are, like Cowboy Deadpool is Matthew McConaughey for a brief period.
I knew it. I turned it all out. I was like, this is Matthew McConaughey, right? She's like, I don't know. I was like, no, it definitely is Matthew McConaughey.
Matt caught that in the credits. Like, I wasn't even paying it. He's like, did that say Matthew McConaughey? I was like, I didn't see it. I don't know.
I looked it up later on IMDb. Yeah. It is there.
And it is.
Matthew McConaughey is Cowboy Deadpool.
No, he absolutely is.
So
I want him to have been on set so badly. I know he wasn't, which is a shame, and I understand why, but like, that would have been so cool.
Yeah.
But still, so cool. For one line, like, hell of a paycheck.
Yeah, for real,
Deadpool's
though.
Always brought in these like one or like giant actors like
Brad Pitt. That was
love,
the best cameo.
I love watching
Ryan
Reynolds
Deadpool
tell
too.
The story about like how they got Brad Pitt, like to sell him. It's like, we're gonna have Brad Pitt. He's gonna play one of our superheroes, but his superpower is invisibility and he can't talk. The greatest. I love it. But they're
but
also
the fact
like
that Brad like, Pitt like. Decided, yes, I'm still going to do this.
Yes.
Just to die.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that has to be said about Ryan Reynolds is that he has this charisma and draw.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to hang out with him and be his friend. And he is so gracious about it.
Yes. Yes.
To the point where, you know, you will go on just to die. Fun fact, one of the TVA agents is Rob McElhenney.
Well, he was supposed to be.
No, he's on IMDb.
He's supposed exactly. He's probably listed on IMDb, but there he talks about. I saw I was looking at this article, and he also put a tweet out that he's like, "Hey, I don't understand. It must have been just my theater, but my scene got cut. So obviously Ryan wouldn't do that to me, but he was supposed to be, and his scene got cut out of the final film. So hopefully for the Blu-ray features, that'll be in there because I would love to see that.
The,
I would love to understand
PG-13
that.
The PG-13 cut because I actually like the Once Upon a Deadpool cut with Fred Savage.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen
Fantastic.
That.
Oh yeah, no. So
it was a
Deadpool,
Christmas special.
Yeah, it was a Christmas special. He kidnaps Fred Savage and
I've seen
puts
the clip.
Him in bed like,
I've seen the Nickelback. Clip.
Yeah, that's from Once Upon a Deadpool.
I was never sure what it was.
Fucking great.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, so to dive in, how did they bring Wolverine, who had such a spectacular end in Logan, back?
Oh my God. Fantastic. The opening scene of this movie is just phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Both of the first and second Deadpool opening scenes were great. This one goes to a whole new level.
Well, I want to talk about that for a brief moment, because I haven't talked about it on the podcast for a while, but Deadpool does something that I like to call Stuart Special, because there's a podcast that I used to listen to called Script Notes, mm-hmm. and they would do something where they would have their fans send in some pages, they would read them, and the overwhelming amount would be something happens, and then we cut back to 2 weeks later, or 3 weeks, you know, we mm-hmm. cut back in time. And so the producer of the podcast was called, his name was Stuart Friedel. So they nicknamed that type, that trope of storytelling to open a movie, the Stuart Special, where it's something big and flashy and something to get your attention, something really interesting. And then we cut back to something, you know, earlier.
A little more mundane, but you know what's
right. But then, you know, now we have a frame of reference into mm-hmm. the character. And so Deadpool, all three of these do that. And I found it interesting that was the story structure throughout every single one of these films.
Now, I'm not like Morty from Rick and Morty, because he very much is against that. He's like, no, uh-huh. the story should start yes. where it starts.
Uh-huh.
I'm very much of, no, let the story be organic how you want to tell it.
Well, you're right.
I don't think it's about organic. It's about him making fun of that trope.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's also just making fun of the fact that we had such a spectacular and emotional death.
Yes.
In Logan.
Yes. Yeah.
That was supposed to be the curtain call
mm-hmm.
for Hugh Jackman. Yeah. And I don't know how much money he got for this movie, but it was enough to get him to come back.
Marvel money, baby.
Marvel money, baby. but to start off by saying, well, no, that Logan is still dead. We're talking about a variant here. Mm-hmm. But to have Deadpool then dig up the bones, the adamantium covered bones.
Because he's talking to the camera, he's like, yeah, that's not how regenerative healing works, kids.
And then then he beats it over the head with a shovel, literally.
Yeah.
He beats it over the head with a shovel.
Was digging and king.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just king, king, king.
I was so pissed. And that, again, is just another wonderful, wonderful joke.
Subversion of the expectation.
Exactly. And yeah, that opening where he's beating up people with bones, and then oh my god, when he puts on the claws yes. himself, that was a fucking great.
All to bye, oh, and then all NSYNC.
And then he trains the he trains the two.
Oh yeah, that's oh my god, it was so that was awful. I am very upset that we went as late as we did,
mm-hmm.
and we went to such a small theater.
Yes.
Because we missed out on the giant crowd reacting to everything Absolutely. Else around us. That is the one thing that I was really disappointed by our viewing of it. I'm glad we went opening day, but our crowd sucked because there was like six other people in the theater. And I'm a sucker for opening day. And for something as big as Deadpool, as something as you know, marvelous as the MCU.
Marvelous.
I did that intentionally. Something as grandiose as you know, these broad spectrum movies,
mm-hmm.
I like to be in the theater. Like when I was watching Barbie, it was such a different experience. And when I went, you know, 4 weeks later and there was still a big crowd, but like the jokes, like no one was reacting in the same way because either they had seen it before or mm-hmm. I don't know, it just kind of wore off some of its magic. And I'm afraid about going again to see this movie with the same kind of crowd. I'm really upset that we missed the giant theater all reacting and seeing something in the same time. Because, you know, the scene where Deadpool is being cradled by Thor, which apparently was just a dark world,
and then they superimpose Deadpool in there.
Which is still hilarious.
That's right. But that's still, like, that would have evoked, like, hoots and hollers and cheers and, mm-hmm. oh, what? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
I was kind of hoping they would pay that off, though. At the end, like, maybe he's fake dying and Thor comes in and it holds him. I thought that would have been a great payoff to that.
Who knows?
Maybe it'll come in later.
I totally thought it was a hint to Secret Wars. I didn't realize until I was doing my research afterwards that it was really, you know, just reused footage.
Okay, so
I thought it really, truly was going, oh, you weren't supposed to see that. Here's our tease to you guys. Mm. But still, Whoops. Like,
they still
missing
could
those,
pay it off.
Missing those moments just sucks.
I think they would in one way, shape, or form.
I hope so. Well, in one universe. But I want to just mention again some of these variants, you know. So we get Wolverine back, but we get him in variant form. And yeah. The way that we go about it, I was just the few things that I learned, like the original in the comics that Wolverine is supposed to be short and stocky and 5'3".
Yeah, 5'4". So, right? He's my height, and I love it. And I would have done that part for free if they had called
Hail
me.
To the short kings.
Yes,
I love.
Thank you.
I didn't know that. So there's there's reasons behind where all of these variants come from. There's reasons behind where all these cameos come from. But your favorite cameo, I think Matt. Was Cavill
playing? You know
Cavalrine.
What?
Cavalrine.
Cavalrine was great just because they're like, or Deadpool was like, I promise we're not going to screw you over like DC did.
Like our buddies down the street did.
Yeah.
So sorry for how they treated you.
It reminds me of this dumb meme. It was an episode of SpongeBob where Mr. Krabs is like, you're fired, but I don't even work here. Would you like a job starting now? Oh boy, you're fired. And then, but they just superimposed Henry Cavill on Patrick and then DC as Mr. Krabs. I'm like, oh my God.
I totally thought...
I do feel bad for Henry Cavill because he keeps getting involved in these big projects mm-hmm. that just get screwed over yeah. by the studios.
You know, that's another tweak I would have done though is Short King could have been Daniel Radcliffe or me, Marvel, if you're
or
listening.
Or Taron Egerton.
And then
they were thinking about him too.
What was his name? The Ultimate Wolverine, only had one arm. He's called like the Ultimate Wolverine.
Oh,
or something.
That was Age of Apocalypse.
Yeah. With the really long hair.
Yeah, that could have been like Carl Urban, and then they could have brought all these like fan castings in that
would have been
if they were paying attention that people have been calling for. And that would have been a great opportunity to just have one-offs with all of them.
Sure, yes. That absolutely could have been interesting. And yeah, that would have been probably more fun from a fan service because, let's be honest, that's what this movie is. This is just a fan service.
This is fan service, the movie.
To the max. It's fan service.
In such a craftful way.
Well, exactly, because we said that about Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. We talked about how like fan service-y it was. Didn't have a whole, great plot, but it did clips, here and there about fan service. This, yeah. at least Deadpool Wolverine was just full send, everything fan service, everything yeah. you guys have ever wanted.
The reason it works in this one versus Multiverse is because this is a comedy and it's a self-aware comedy where Multiverse is taking itself seriously as a horror drama.
To be fair, I like the fan service in Multiverse of Madness. That was one I really liked. I don't care who you are. I think it was a really fun.
It had its moments.
But I liked the fan service in that because everybody wanted John Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic.
Right. Exactly.
It was great to see Captain Carter.
Yep.
I loved that. Yeah. And Patrick Stewart in the X-Men 90s animated series wheelchair, the floating wheelchair, which was fucking great.
Okay, but hear me out. Replace Strange with Deadpool in those scenes, and it gets even better because now it's a comedy.
It is,
and you can off those characters like they did in such a quick and nonchalant manner, mm-hmm. and it wouldn't have mattered. But because they didn't because it was heavy, it was supposed to be a heavy movie, and they didn't focus on them that much.
Right? They were just. It felt like an afterthought.
They were there to die.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
which does suck. I will admit.
It is. It's very, but very unfortunate.
I think they did it in such a fun way, though, because again, they were definitely playing into Sam Raimi's horror roots. I mean, Black Bolt with his mouth closed, the spaghetti Mr. Fantastic, Captain Carter getting bisected. Holy shit! Like, or hell, even that just quick jump scare of Scarlet Witch just snapping Xavier's neck. It was very fan servicey, but they all died in such a creative way.
True. So I think here's what they got to do with Deadpool 4.
What?
They got to do Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe.
Oh.
And revisit these moments and instead of it being Scarlet Witch, it's Deadpool.
They were definitely alluding to that in this movie. I really thought they were going to go full Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Because he was going to be like, I'm going to kill this universe to save mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they didn't in the end, but it was still very much him quipping and killing other variants of other Marvel characters. So he wasn't killing the Marvel universe, he was killing bits of every other
of
Marvel
other
universe.
Yeah. It was about convergence.
Oh yeah, it was. And that's something that the MCU has done really well. Sorry, a little closer.
Oh, you're pulling a Luke.
Oh my God, I'm pulling a Luke. So this is something that Marvel has done really well because they're able to take some of the stories that we know and love,
yeah,
but very much make it their own.
Mm-hmm.
Civil War. I cannot stand the comic of Civil War.
Really?
Oh my gosh. Because it was an event, and because so many characters were acting out of character in the comics,
mm-hmm.
they had to come up with another event to be like, oh, that guy, you didn't like how he was acting? Oh, it turns out he was a Skrull.
Yeah,
he was Secret Invasion.
Oh,
so
okay.
it was such a cop-out to me. And with the movie Civil War, I felt like everybody was on point. Everybody had such a good idea mm-hmm. of where they would be that for me as an audience member, I was conflicted.
Mm-hmm.
Who would I join?
Who do I actually want
to join? Where it was so obvious, like they wanted you to join either Captain America or Iron Man's side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The only thing is I would have liked some bigger stakes in the Civil War movie. Like,
okay.
Like in the comics, people die. There was...
Oh, yeah.
Rhodey got fucked up, but he's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, he is right. fine.
And that's something we've talked about before, you know, with Marvel movies, is where are the stakes, you know? And again, mm-hmm. this is another multiverse movie. This is another thing where... are there really stakes here? Are there really consequences for what's happening or what has happened? I feel like there really isn't. So
they were setting up for bigger consequences just with the universe shredder.
Sure.
That
Ripper. Got destroyed.
Oh yeah, sorry. The universe ripper.
Yeah. The Time Ripper.
Time Ripper, thank you. And then Emma Corrin?
Yeah, Corrin.
Yes.
Yeah. She was going to use it to destroy all of the universes so that everything could be the void where she's basically the queen.
Mm-hmm.
Which was great. Great stakes. But they laid that out in the last minute.
Yep.
Yep. That was the problem.
Exactly.
Whereas the stakes were still pretty high because it's still Deadpool's universe where he's going to lose everything that he loved.
Okay, so now here I have a question for you guys. And I've only seen it once. I think you guys have only seen it once as well.
Right.
I am 99.9% sure we're in a different timeline than the Sacred Timeline. That everything we saw is a different Deadpool than what we're going to get in a later movie.
Yeah,
because
maybe.
when Deadpool goes to interview with Happy, it's Earth 661.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And
right.
then when they cut to him 5 years later, mm-hmm. it's Earth 10 something.
Yeah.
Did it say that?
It yeah, 100% it did.
Oh, shit. I missed that. That is and our main, our sacred timeline is Earth 616.
Right.
Right. Oh, okay. 616. Maybe yeah. that was what it was. I don't know. All I know is that it was the first. They're two different timelines.
Holy shit,
and
I missed that.
Nobody who I've heard from is talking about that. No articles I've seen have talked about that. So that might be the best hidden secret right in plain mm-hmm. fucking sight is that everything that Deadpool did to save his universe isn't on the sacred timeline, and then that's going to get him promoted to the sacred timeline.
Absolutely. Because, well, this was something else that they were doing that they did very artfully was, again... They're basically saying goodbye mm-hmm. to Fox.
Yes,
they're
absolutely
saying goodbye
is a send-off.
To everything that Fox built,
mm-hmm.
while still keeping the IPs. But
thanks for the memories.
That's Fallout Boys, but they ended it with Green Day.
I know they did,
which was the song "Good Riddance."
Oh my God, that was like tearing me apart.
Mm-hmm. It was. It was a very apropos song.
I don't know about you guys, but X-Men was the movie that got me into comics.
Yes. Oh, same.
That the 2000 X-Men movie was just so life-changing for me.
Absolutely.
I wish that it had. I missed out on the boat. I totally missed out on it.
My dad, he's an absolute geek. He's definitely more Star Trek than anything else, mm-hmm. but I just remember so many times I was asking him questions about certain characters, and I don't know how he was able to remember it, or maybe he was just pulling it out of his butt, but he was able to answer my questions because I was like 6 or 7 when the first X-Men came out.
Right.
I don't know how I was able to see it, but I was able to see it.
Because he wanted to see it.
Well, I didn't. I remember not seeing it in the theaters, but I remember seeing mm-hmm. it when it came out on mm-hmm. VHS because that was still a thing in
uh-huh.
2000.
Uh-huh.
But in any case, the effect that the Fox X-Men had on me was profound.
I mean, I even remember, like I said, I wasn't part of the culture, but I remember like going, oh, like comic book movies can be cool. Yeah. I do remember even that. And it did. It definitely changed kind of the landscape. And yet it still took 8 more years before like the massive success of The Dark Knight mm-hmm. like kind of again changed the game and really solidified like you can do comic book movies without it being fluffy and you know bubblegum look.
I mean Spider-Man did that pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Spider-Man helped make it more realistic as well.
For sure.
And that's what I like that the X-Men did, is they really took it in the what if this actually happened in real life approach.
Yeah, yeah. They grounded it. But that's also what led to the leather body casts that the cast was in.
And it's funny because Hugh Jackman...
Were you expecting yellow spandex?
Hugh Jackman talks about that. He does, where he's like, I played Wolverine for so long, you know, in the first time we did this was in the all-black leather. So he's like, mm-hmm. this is how I assumed superheroes were supposed to feel and look, mm-hmm. you know, and this is what I was going for. So when they were doing costume fittings, he's like, this just isn't going to work. This is weird. This is, you know, foreign. Well, and then they started going, he's like, oh, this just feels right. Like this is truly what it's supposed to be.
So you, I'm sure you know why they were in black suits instead of yellow spandex.
Because they tried it.
No, it was because Bryan Singer wouldn't allow comic books on set. He wanted it to be its own thing.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
And, I like the idea.
Kevin
I like
Feige
the mentality,
was
though.
Was a producer on X-Men, if you know.
I did know that.
And Brian, and he would like feed, he was seeing what Bryan Singer was doing, and he would feed the actors like little tidbits because he was such a comic book nerd.
Yeah.
That he would feed the actors certain things like discreetly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's why there's only one bub in the original X-Men movie. God. Wolverine only says one bub, which is like his catchphrase in the comics.
Yeah.
But yeah, things like that, things like the black suit, is
so that part I didn't know.
Yeah.
I thought Bryan Singer was a geeky enough.
He might've been, but again, I like the idea where he was going like, hey, I want this to be its own thing.
Yeah. Oh, sure. But also treat your source material seriously and you're going to get that groundedness.
Nobody knew that. Nobody realized that. I mean, even Wesley Snipes talks about how in the original Blade, like they went and was like, you know, people were telling him, hey, make sure you have something else lined up after this. Like, comic book movies aren't a thing. They aren't, you know, reliable.
That was a runaway hit.
Exactly. He's like, I didn't have any kind of, you know, knowledge about what, you know, Marvel could be. Mm-hmm. He's like, mm-hmm. I, you know, we took it as seriously as we could, but we had no idea, you know, where it could actually go. Yeah. But he also talked about how he didn't think that he was ever going to come back as well. Like he thought that was done. He hadn't heard from anybody for years. And then out of the blue, Ryan Reynolds calls. He's like, or text. He got a text from Ryan Reynolds, and he's like, it just said, we need to talk. I want to talk to you. And so it kind of went from there.
So did they just decide to bury the hatchet with what happened on Blade Trinity?
I haven't seen anything about
Wesley Snipes and Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
No, I think they were just hanging a lantern on it with.
No. The actors themselves were fighting
a lot, or at least Wesley Snipes was kind of being a prima donna from what I've heard.
Wesley might have grown while he was
so
in prison.
From the interview that I read Snipes said it didn't really make sense to him what Ryan Reynolds was doing on set of Blade Trinity. Is that Reynolds was kind of doing his shtick, right? His kind of, you know, tongue in cheek, his really, you know, asinine
being
humor,
Reynolds.
You know, being Ryan Reynolds, right? And so he said he was like, that he wasn't ready for that kind of humor. It wasn't his kind of humor. And so he, you know, he's like, it's a little over the top. But then he came back and he's like, well, seeing him do it in the context of Deadpool and Wolverine, seeing him do it in the context of the character, he's like, it totally makes sense and it totally works. And this is actually really good. And Ryan Reynolds is probably the best person to do this. So I think, honestly, I think it was time. I think it was perspective. I think money for sure helps.
What's Wesley Snipes doing these days?
Besides having a cameo in What We Do in the Shadows.
Exactly.
True, yeah.
I do legitimately think that... seeing that type of humor, seeing the character itself and being a professional actor, I'm going on a limb here, but I'm saying, you know, I'm hoping that it's being a professional actor, realizing, oh, what you were doing was really just a precursor to what you do best. And I want to work with you in this context now that I know what this, you know, the universe actually is.
Ryan Reynolds has been dying to play Deadpool for years.
Forever.
Like, even before Blade Trinity, he was like, this is a cool character. I love this character. I would love to play him.
And then they fucked him up in Origins.
Yeah, and replaced him with Scott Adkins. No hate on Scott Adkins, because he's actually a really decent person and a great martial artist. But to have him be Deadpool.
The merchant without a mouth.
Yeah, the merc without a mouth. It was just like, are you kidding?
Merchant?
Merchant. The merchant. Merchant?
Mercenary.
Mercenary. Merc.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. But in any case, yes, he got fucked up. And they put a lampshade on that in the first Deadpool, which was great. Deadpool is great at lampshading.
Sure.
Very self-aware and like, you know what we're talking about. Like, let's move on.
Hang a lantern on it.
Yeah.
Hang a lantern on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was wondering if that was the same thing you're talking
about. I've never heard of lampshading.
Same.
Oh, yeah.
Hanging a lantern on it.
It's the same thing as hanging a lantern on it. Yeah. You're bringing it to light, but you're also like, let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So we have actually been talking for longer than I realized. We haven't really gotten into the meat and potatoes of everything. I know. This is a runaway episode.
There's so much to talk about.
There really is.
So much of it is behind the scenes, and so much of it is on the screen as well. That's what's so interesting about this movie.
Exactly. So I you guys love this movie. Absolutely. What are some things that you said, Luke, that they could have done some casting choices a little bit better? What are some things that this movie could have done better or some areas that this movie was kind of lacking
in? I mean, right at the beginning, we get a little glimpse of the Hulk in one of those cameo bits.
See, I didn't even catch that. I saw this in my research, too.
Yeah, and there's even, did you see the shot from the comics with the, you can see the Hulk's reflection in his claws?
Yes.
Which is primo, but I would have liked a little bit of action in that scene. Why do you have the Hulk there if you're not going to use him? And like here's what I would have
written.
That was
an interesting thing. Why do they have certain characters but then not use
and
them?
And not utilize them. But in the Hulk scene, I would have loved for, instead of he just like slamming Wade, like pull a Loki with him. And he's like from Avengers.
Oh, that
and he could whip him back and forth. And Deadpool could say something like, oh, this feels familiar, as his body parts are like flying off.
That would have been interesting.
That would have been fun. That would have been fun.
But the Wolverine Hulk fight is something fans have been wishing for years.
They're not going to get it like that. They're just not. There's so much packed into this movie already. They're not going to get that. I'm sorry.
Use him. He's there.
Oh, no, I hear you. If you're going to have Hulk and Wolverine in a movie, I better see them fight.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't in what they were going to do.
Wasn't in the cards for this one.
Not for this one. But you know what was in the cards?
What's that?
Gambit.
Of course it was. Of course it was.
Gambit, which... So, oddly enough... one of my gripes was some of the cameos that were used.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea why they put Elektra in there.
Why not?
Fox.
It is a why not, but you know
it's because of Fox.
But you know who had the bigger movie was Ben Affleck as Daredevil.
You're right.
Okay, but Jennifer Garner costs less.
Honestly, that probably, you're not wrong.
You're probably right, yes.
Think of what he would have done to the budget.
Yeah.
Well,
just like he says about Chris Evans.
Chris Evans, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, we do get a little bit of a nod to it with like, hey, I'm sorry about Daredevil, and Elektra just, you know, whatever.
Well, that's a layered joke.
That's so layered.
That's a layered because a whole of layered Ben joke, and Jennifer, right?
Exactly,
too.
Exactly, exactly. Which I like.
There was also the nod to Hugh Jackman's recent divorce with his longtime wife.
Yep. I don't know. I for me, I feel like the story and the plot and even the character development, it was just lackluster at best. If we're looking at it from a filmmaking standpoint, there wasn't a lot of advancement. I absolutely fucking hate the beginning where Wade and Vanessa are at odds with each other, and she doesn't want to be with him.
They're like
that
divorced.
They never got married, I guess. Like, that makes absolutely no fucking sense in any way, shape, or form. In what universe? Again, it's a different universe. But like, to me, you just you're throwing something out that's like, all right, well, we got to get these characters. We got to make him, you know, we got to get him to a low point. Well, what's a lower point than, you know, where he's been? I don't know fucking anything, but his girlfriend leaves him. That's so boring.
Well, we did that already with Deadpool 2. And it was like the whole crux of Deadpool 2 was that he had to
save her,
but get over her death. Mm-hmm. And then he just happens to get the time machine.
I saw it as like a Spider-Man kind of move where he needed to distance her because of what happened in Deadpool 2. And the reason he kept trying to save her.
Okay, so play on that. Yeah. So use that.
That's something that the first two Deadpools did really well.
Okay.
They brought him to a low point so that he could, you know, go maximum effort and be the Deadpool that we know.
I have an issue with that catchphrase, because the first time it was used in Deadpool 1, it was perfect because he doesn't use maximum effort. That's the whole joke of it. Every time since then, he actually uses effort, and then it's not used properly. I have irritation with that line.
In any case, the first movie, he gets cancer. He has to distance himself from Vanessa just because of his own vanity, really, and insecurities. Mm-hmm.
That's why Deadpool 1 works, is because you can do all these goofy things because it's grounded in really deep human emotion. There are certain scenes where everything comes to an abrupt halt, and it's like, hey, I actually really care about you. Hey, I actually really miss you. Hey, I'm actually really hurting inside, and I don't know how to tell you. And then we're going to go off and do these crazy, campy, you know, goofy things.
And that was That's where this movie suffers.
Deadpool 2 kind of, you know, went way off of that and didn't have as many moments. And you're right. Deadpool and Wolverine suffers tremendously because there is none of that. You get one moment where Wolverine is yelling at Wade, at Deadpool, mm-hmm. in the Honda Odyssey. And that's all we get. And it's just we don't even see the reaction moment
with Wolverine, though,
which is
it's where he's in that like graveyard in his mind.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right.
Emma Corrin's character is like, I'm going to make the voices stop. And you hear the voices stop. Mm-hmm. And Hugh Jackman is great at this because his sigh of relief, like, oh, my God. It's gone.
Yes.
The pain is gone.
Yes.
This is exactly what I was hoping with Star Trek V. It's a very similar thing with Star Trek V.
Okay.
Where this guy is able to take away your pain, but you realize you need your pain. I need it. But this did it way better.
Well, By the way,
Oh, I was just going to say that this movie even ruins that moment.
Yeah.
It has that amazing, you know, breath of relief and that silence, which is a great bit of design. So there's gold nuggets all spread throughout this movie.
Absolutely.
I'm not knocking this as in like this.
The
is
sum
in
of its parts make it what it is, but it's also what's missing that
it is.
We're talking about.
And we're talking, you know, again, just like basic storytelling. You have moments like with Wolverine and you know, overcoming that and realizing, hey, I actually, you know, am going to utilize this to mm-hmm. defeat somebody. And then you have it at the very end going, oh, hey, no, he needs his pain because it makes him who he was. It's like, God, fuck, you don't need to be that on the nose with it.
Oh, yeah, no.
You don't. It's Deadpool. It's already on the nose.
Mm-hmm. Also, who is our main villain?
Yes.
Who's our primary villain?
Again, it does a big bad kind of.
It's Cassandra Nova.
No, it's not.
What do you mean it's not?
It's not.
It is. What do you mean?
It's Paradox. Supposedly.
Who's kind of running everything from behind the scenes, I guess.
It's a Mandarin situation.
Remember very early on, well, look at that giant MacGuffin, right? Deadpool even says it right there. It's like, if you're watching it from, it's a basic story, and they call out all of the story beats, and again, that is supposed to be what Deadpool does, but it's not done the way that the first one did it. The satire isn't there enough because it's saturated with pop culture references and comedy, and it's up its own ass in the storytelling, and it just kind of loses its direction.
Deadpool has worked a lot better, I think, when the stakes are more personal. Now, when he starts talking about when he's referring to that picture that he took,
mm-hmm.
this is what I'm fighting for. Mm-hmm. I was like, yes, there we go. I love that.
Sure.
It's what gives him the motivation to keep going.
Sure.
And I love that. And he's trying to do that, or he's trying to convince Wolverine to join him through that, which is great. But so much of the time, it's references, cameo. And it's like, you have to be a seasoned Marvel vet
absolutely
to understand a good chunk of this.
I understood everything.
Well, yes, but you're a seasoned Marvel vet.
You are.
But to a casual audience member,
yes,
they're not going to get every little bit, and that's going to get lost.
Right. I can't take my mom to see this. I mean, I can, and I'm going to try because I like seeing movies with people who I, you know, want to spend time with.
Yeah.
But she's not going to understand it any way, shape, or form. It's going to be, she's going to get the overall plot, but she's going to miss 95% of this, which is something that I kind of debated with myself about, hey, how are we going to start this episode? I was going to say, if you guys haven't seen this episode, or if you guys haven't seen this for some reason yet and you're listening to this first, what do we need to watch before seeing Deadpool and Wolverine? And then I was like, but it's kind of a moot point because there's so many. Yeah. So yeah. I'm glad you brought that back up. What I was going to say is the things that are essential is you've got to see Logan and Loki season one.
Yes.
Deadpool 1 and 2, yes, it's good to get the kind of the sense of the world and you know, the style.
Especially the humor.
The humor, for sure. But beyond that, I mean, where do you even begin?
The drama inside and out
inside
of Fox.
And out of the Fox cinematic universe. Yeah. It's you've got to be well-versed in the Marvel universe in itself because there's so many.
X-Men, Blade, Daredevil,
right? Like I said,
Fantastic Four, yeah, and it's just.
But then you also have to you know, be ready for, you know, Thor. You got to be able to catch that one. You've got to see Avengers
Loki
and
right for the TVA references.
Mm-hmm. So this movie kind of points out all the weak points, all the fears that Marvel fans have had, and it kind of lampshades it, but at the same time, hangs a lantern on it.
He loves this reference.
I love this.
it's easier to say lampshade.
He's not wrong.
Anyway, the movie does hang a lantern on it all, but it doesn't change the fact that it's still there.
Exactly. No, but that's 100% right. Is as much fun as it is, it's as much of a headache. How do I say this in the way that I want to? As much fun as it is, it's equally as big of a headache to try and wrap your brain around what you need to do to see this movie.
I guess I will.
Because used to have to do that, or we used to be afraid of doing that with the early Marvel movies.
Right.
Like, hell, phase one, what do you read or watch to understand Iron Man?
Right.
Who at the time was becoming a B-lister of a superhero.
Right. Right.
No one really, like, the general public did not understand or know Iron Man, but that movie did such a good job of just saying, you know what, you don't need to read any of the previous comics, because we've got everything you need to know about
him. Really well.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes,
and they continued to do that all the way through phase three.
This movie is not an origin story.
Correct.
No, it's not. Correct. It's a sequel.
So you can't watch it as
an origin
story.
But I'm still saying that Marvel has been able to make good standalone movies and sequels where you only need to understand the previous movie in order, excuse me, in order to understand this next one.
But this movie is much of an ode to Marvel as it is to the Fox universe.
It is. It is. But what I'm saying is, for Black Panther, you only needed to see Civil War.
Yeah, that was an origin. That was basically an origin story.
It was not.
So Luke, you're saying origin stories are different than sequels and the latter.
Okay, but for Civil War, all you needed to see was Winter Soldier.
That's not true. You needed to see everything before Civil War to understand all these characters.
I would say Civil War was definitely closer to I mean, it was an Avengers story.
It was a sequel.
Avengers 2.5.
Right.
But they still,
it was also a cat
they still
movie.
Referenced so much that, like, you got the gist. Like, a general audience member could just be like, oh, they've been causing so much destruction as a team. Mm-hmm. Like, this is why these mistakes are where they are.
I see where you're coming from.
Why
are they fighting? Who is this main person that Cap is? Okay, I see where you're coming from with needing to see. All right.
Yeah.
I see that. But again, I mean, we talked about this with Marvels. It's like, how much homework do you have to do? And so, you know, you mentioned that Oppenheimer doesn't have the couch appeal. Mm-hmm. So let's look in 35 years, right? 50 years. Who is going to sit down and watch Deadpool and Wolverine by itself? And who is going to understand everything that they've jam-packed in this if they haven't done 700 hours of content before it to really kind of get caught up in everything.
Only so, people like me.
but it kind of it is isolates. It is for the fans, but it also isolates the fans.
Yeah.
Which is a really weird kind of world that we're living in.
Isn't it funny
right
though
now.
That we're talking about this after you opened with the box office numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that Deadpool has that general appeal.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there are dedicated fans out mm-hmm. there. And we also know that the general public just loves Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman, so seeing them in a movie together also is a true. No-brainer.
Also true.
It's just interesting, though, because we're also right in that those audience members, mm-hmm. the vast majority, like the ones in our theater, probably mm-hmm. didn't get half of the references.
Probably not. Probably not. So or if they did, they're not externalizing
its biggest
it
strength
it's becoming like not cool again. Yeah.
Its biggest strength is its biggest weakness.
Yeah. Yeah. What a double-edged sword this is. Double-bladed movie this.
Double-bladed katana?
Double-bladed claw.
Got it. all right. So those are my main issues with this movie is again, the plot's kind of thin. The character development is weak. And the fact that, you just have to do so much work to get to it. That being said, I had a fucking blast watching this movie.
This is a study in contrast.
Honestly, it was an absolute just joy catching all the references, even the references I didn't get. I was like, all right, cool. Learning about them after, I was like, oh, shit, that was thrown in there? That was why that, you know, that Gambit was the character? That was, you know.
I mean, going back to the little Wolverine clips as he's going through the alternate universes.
I never thought also I would see a patch.
There's the one with the eye patch. Yeah. That takes place in Madripoor, which was established in Falcon Winter Soldier. It's where our guy was doing that dance that everybody loves now. Fucking guy. The guy
with the place.
Oh my god.
Use your words.
Why I'm blanking on his name for some reason.
And I'll never forget it.
He was the bad guy he's the guy who turned Bucky into the Winter Soldier. He's the bad guy in Civil War.
Baron Zemo?
Baron Zemo, thank
okay,
you.
Okay, cool. I was lost. Sorry.
And I was trying to remember the actor's name, too, but that wasn't in my
Daniel
head either.
Daniel Brühl.
Daniel Brühl.
Oh, Brühl.
Daniel so, Brühl.
Yeah, if you know the dance that Daniel Brühl is doing that was all over social media for a little while after Falcon Winter Soldier, that's Madripoor.
Yeah.
That's where our eye patch Wolverine.
Well, that's a reference to the comics as well, because... Sure. At one point, he doesn't go by Wolverine. He just goes by Patch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, deep cut. Hell, that crucifix that he's on, reference to Marvel Jesus and Passion of the Christ there, because that is a cover straight from Uncanny X-Men.
Yes, and that was...
reference number fucking 5,000.
Oh, which one was that? Fever Dream. That's what they call it. It's Fever Dream. That's from the evil Reavers savagely torture Wolverine and put his healing powers to
Which,
the test.
We got the Reavers in Logan.
Fucking Reavers.
That's a Serenity reference,
which
isn't it?
Which also kind of upsets me that it's Nathan Fillion as the head and not Alan Tudyk, who is also the head in one of the greatest Netflix comedies. Oh my god, I'm totally blanking on it now. I'm pulling a Luke.
Wait, I feel like I know it.
Yeah, you definitely know it. Wow. Santa Clarita Diet.
Pulling a Luke. Huh?
I got you.
Wait.
It's Santa Clarita Diet.
Yeah, Santa Clarita Diet.
He plays.
Underrated
the,
show,
that
and
was
they
canceled.
Canceled that.
At the worst time.
At the worst time.
The worst time. Why didn't Sci-Fi pick it up? I'm so upset about that.
Sci-Fi, Prime, anything, anyone should have picked that up.
That was a stupid decision. It was one of the highest watch. Anyway, okay. They pushed it so hard.
I know.
another cameo. I know we're all over the place in this movie. Like just like Deadpool is.
Yeah.
But another cameo. Do you guys know who Lady Deadpool is?
Blake Lively.
Blake Lively
is.
And that wasn't the first Blake Lively reference either, because
also true.
Earlier on,
they make fun of a Gossip Girl.
He's like, this is how many bones are in the human body unless I'm watching Gossip Girl with Blake Lively, who's married to Ryan Reynolds, was in Gossip Girl.
Oh, there's another one as well. I don't remember where. I think it's
Gossip Girl
around that. Yeah, Gossip Girl.
Okay, yeah,
it's around that scene as well where I think Wolverine's like, I'm going to tell Blake.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth.
What
makes it so good is that these guys are are friends in real life, like besties in real life.
They actually have a great time together.
And it translates so well to their characters on screen.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Their chemistry has always been great on and off set. That's why they've done the press junket together.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't yet, I highly recommend watching their Hot Ones interview.
Yeah, I need to watch that.
It is absolutely hilarious because Hugh Jackman said he's just going to eat super spicy wings before he has to do an emotional scene from now on. Okay, we talked about the strengths and the weaknesses of this movie, but I want to know what your guys' favorite bits are of the movie. Like, what is the bit that you cackled the loudest at?
Yeah, Luke, you can't say all of it.
All of it! Fuck
no,
you!
No. And I legit am curious, though. Mm-hmm. Like, what made you cackle the loudest? What made you just like, oh, shit? Like,
oh, I mean, as Wesley Snipes coming out, Gambit coming out, Channing Tatum. Like, I was, like, yelling in
you
my
even
seat.
You mentioned Laura from Logan.
And Laura.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Actually, one of the most heartfelt moments of this movie is at the end when Wolverine and Logan and Laura are sitting next to each other the dinner table. Mm-hmm. At the very end, and you're like, oh my god, this is the ending they could have had.
It's interesting. I'm going to get back to your question, I swear. But since we brought that up, that campfire scene was also, you're right, that was also an extremely heartfelt moment, extremely human moment. That was definitely a grounding, great scene.
Like, you were never the right guy.
But, right.
Until the time was right.
That's always been Wolverine.
Yeah, and I love him.
Daphne Keene.
Daphne Queen.
she talks about how she had rewatched Logan to kind of, you know, go back to it. But she also talks about how the stunt coordinators also were like, hey, here's what we kind of want to do. But what do you think your character would do? Because it's your character, which also I want to veer into the stunts as well. But she's like, I don't know. Like, I have no reservation about playing this character, but I'm like, I don't know. It's been 8 years. I have no. And she's like, I was nervous and terrified and I don't know. And then they said, you know, action. And I was like, oh, like 8 years wasn't even a thing. Like, she just jumped right back into this role. And I think she absolutely crushed it in this.
She's been doing really great work. Yeah. If you've seen His Dark Materials was great. And, she was on The Acolyte, even though the show had its problems, she was really good in it.
Yeah.
Show wasn't bad. It wasn't good. It was mid. But she's had some really great performances over the last 8 years.
True.
She has.
But to circle back to your question, Matt, is that was definitely a highlight for me, is that campfire scene with a different Logan, because it's like, you're right, it's like what could have been. And this Logan doesn't know who Laura is, and yet he still feels this kind of pull
connection.
And it's also safety around her. And like, he can open up and be soft around her. And it's just kind of, you know, mind fucking in that way. And it's just, again, I go back
to
wish I had
thing,
more
though,
of
like,
those
it
moments.
Doesn't matter
I wish
what
I had
universe
more.
You're in or what your universe you're part of. You're going to have aspects of your prime self.
Sure.
In every universe.
Sure.
So there is that heart of gold. Deep, 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 deep down there,
buried in a mountain of booze.
At the very end, when they're all sitting around the kitchen table, and you see Logan and Laura sitting next to each other, and they're like playing with dog pool, and it is such a tear jerking moment. Yeah. I couldn't like.
I'm glad you felt that way. Odyssey. So I think. Beyond the opening credits, I think the opening of this movie, the opening stages where Deadpool is learning about the TVA and seeking other Logans and then finding the one and then the suit reveal, I think those are probably the highlights for me personally. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. The suits. So one of you guys mentioned that he didn't know about the yellow spandex, but that's not entirely true, because at the end of The Wolverine by James Mangold, He gets that the box that's
he's not
got the yellow.
It,
yeah, but he knows about it.
He knew.
Are
of
you
it.
Talk which movie? Logan.
The Wolverine.
The Wolverine.
The one
where he's
the
in Japan.
One that's in Japan.
I don't know that I saw that one.
Oh,
that is a great movie.
It is a good one. Okay. It's definitely multiple steps up from X-Men Origins.
which was supposed to be like a
James
whole
series. Mangold always said like, "Oh, Wolverine's going to be the last person to put on a uniform." And in a sense, it's true for the movies, but it's never true in the comics, oddly enough, because he's still a soldier.
Mm.
So he knows the importance of a uniform.
Of a uniform.
Ah.
But in this...
Ironic that all of their uniforms are different, though.
Yes, but it's always been like it's still like I'm still an X-Man, and I'm still able
wear
to
the
express
yellow spandex.
There's a great video I'm going to send it to you later about from this guy named Captain Christian, spelled with K's. Mm-hmm. He does a great job talking about the costumes of X-Men mm-hmm. and how well cosplayers have done it, and how it's hard to see the lack of it mm-hmm. in the movies. Mm-hmm. Like, the closest we've gotten is the Deadpool movies in terms of good X-Men costumes.
Okay. Okay. I mean, Deadpool's costume is pretty fucking sleek. I don't like it as much in this one. It feels too red. It feels too brand new. I understand why.
Yeah. Did you guys notice that the Marvel logo is there's a little texturing to the red Marvel logo because it's his suit.
Nice.
Yeah, so he's wearing the Marvel red, which is great.
And also, I mentioned it to you right as the movie was starting. Yes, I did talk during it. Right when the movie was starting, that Deadpool 1 and 2, their opening, they use the Marvel comic book flip, but Deadpool and Wolverine use
the Marvel
MCU
and he's
opening.
In it.
So
and
I just,
even
again,
hear him going, dun, 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 dun. I love that.
Yep.
We haven't gotten that
since the Simpsons movie.
No, we haven't gotten that since Taika Waititi did it.
Oh, true. Well, I was singing the Simpsons movie when Ralph is singing along to the 20th Century Fox.
Oh, that part. You're right. That's right. No, I was thinking of...
it was given that.
This is a kind of a deep cut, but watch the commentary for Thor Ragnarok, because Taika Waititi is going, bim, 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 bim.
Ah, bim, that's awesome.
It's so great.
That's so Taika.
Oh, as Korg?
No, just himself. He's doing the commentary. There are a couple times where he's very distracted by his kids, but it heartened me to it.
Korg would have been a great cameo in this because they've done marketing together. I'm kind of surprised Korg wasn't in this after they've had marketing with Deadpool and Korg next to each other. You've seen those, right?
I don't think
Taika
wants to be involved in Marvel anymore. I really
after
don't.
After what happened?
He has said that he did it for the paycheck, so...
That sucks, man.
All right, so I want to pivot because I know we're honestly running out of time. We're way over that when we normally go. So I want to mention the CGI. I want to get your thoughts about the CGI and the graphics and everything. What'd you guys think?
For the most part, it was good. The climax fight where they got the cameo characters to fight, I was really bothered by some of the camera work there. Mm-hmm. Just because it was so shaky, and you knew that like people like Jennifer Garner and Channing Tatum just did not have the ability to do the choreography.
And it's funny because Wesley Snipes is like, I have to get Blade ready. Like, he's like, I've got to go through training, and he did. Yeah. He went through like his own boot camp.
Well, yeah,
to kind of like get his body ready.
Martial artist.
He is an action star, and he is a martial artist, and so he kind of knows what to do. But exactly.
Daphne Keane knew, and they always. Went to wide shots when you knew the actor could actually do what they were doing, which is fine. But we're talking mainly about the CG. The CG was really cool. I thought, especially when Cassandra Nova was like digging her fingers into people's faces. Ugh. I'm like, oh, that's so gross. I love it.
It was worse in the best way. Than Multiverse of Madness.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what Multiverse of Madness would have been with an R-rated.
Yeah.
Or with an R rating.
This felt more horrific.
Oh, yeah. Like when she rips up Johnny Storm.
Yeah.
And all that's left are his bones. It's like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm. That was brutal.
You guys saw the end credit scene, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
So we know Deadpool's innocent.
And you notice he's talking to Kevin from She-Hulk?
Yes.
The Kevin bot?
Is that?
Oh. Yep.
Okay. Never watched it.
The Kevin bot that controls all of Marvel. well, it's the camera thing up above them in that
She-Hulk
cage.
Went meta not nearly as hard as Deadpool. It was more of a Fleabag kind of meta.
Yeah, okay. For sure.
Which was fine, but in any case, for the most part, I liked the CG.
Okay.
I thought it was very Marvel,
I thought it was very Marvel. I thought it was polished enough. Personally, I didn't have any major qualms with it, but it's, you know, I don't think it's going to be winning any major awards. It wasn't Guardians of the Galaxy level. I'll just say that.
No,
personally.
No.
And Guardians didn't even win. So
exactly. So to pivot to stunt coordination, I think that this was absolutely phenomenal.
Oh my God!
Just brutal fight scenes, incredible
the side
choreography.
The side-scroller scene when they're fighting off all the Deadpools.
All the Deadpool
How
variants.
Many extras
cool.
is that?
That was cool. That was a lot of fun. And it's something that, since I did rewatch and take some notes on Deadpool 1 and 2, I found it really interesting that a lot of action movies, I mean, the vast majority of action movies, somehow find a way to do their fight scenes different than most other action movies. Like, there is not really a copy and play and paste. Sure, punches and kicks and throws and a lot of the moves might be similar, but the way that the characters interact with each other and use their environment and use their you know, if it's a superhero movie, use their abilities against each other makes all of these fights honestly unique and really
you're
interesting.
You're not
going to
see Deadpool fight like John Wick.
Right.
No, I mean, even Deadpool and Wolverine both have their own fighting styles.
Yes. Exactly. But that's what Matt means is like, you're not going to see Deadpool fight like a John Wick would.
Yeah.
Or you're
yeah.
not going to see him, you know, move like, I don't know, like an Electro would. Like, he's got his own.
Oh, we got a new kind of movement from Wolverine we've never seen before.
The crouching?
Where he's crouching or he's running on all fours. I thought that was kind of
that was interesting. I love that.
Yeah, I want that.
I think they did that in the animated series or in the comics
Yes.
But they have not done that with Hugh Jackman.
Which is sad because, again, he's great for it.
Mm-hmm.
Minus the height.
minus the height, yes.
That was oddly enough.
Marvel, I'll do it for free.
Careful, Luke. Your nose is getting a little brown there.
No, it's just Pinocchio.
Oh, so you don't want to do it?
No, I do.
I was about to say. So now I'm seeing it. Now it's getting longer. No, you're right, though. The fight choreography in this was good for the most part. Again, when they were going on these wide shots with Elektra, they were shaking the cam so hard. And it's like, you knew what they were saying there. Jennifer Garner couldn't do the choreography.
Hey, that's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. You're right. But it's very evident in a lot of other action movies. When they go shaky cam, it means that the actors just are not capable. And they also aren't getting a stunt double to go in. Because, again, if you're going to do good fight choreography, you want it in the wide shot.
Sure.
You see that all the time in the Taken movies. Which,
interesting.
The first one is a guilty pleasure. The sequels, I have issues. Personal and professional issues.
Interesting.
No, wow,
that's for another
Taken movies.
That's for another episode.
No, but the choreography was great. The Honda scene was phenomenal.
Yep.
Because
there's a thing now. It's like competitive. What is it? It's competitive seatbelt unlocking or competitive wrestling with inside a car. I got to see if I can find out exactly what it is. It is a legitimate thing where two people have to, I think that they wrestle inside of a car. I think that that's all it is.
Really?
Huh. I got to see what it is. But so the kind of utilizing that aspect of it.
All the while you're hearing "You're the One That I Love."
You're the one that I want.
Or "You're the One That I Want."
Yeah, it was great.
From Grease.
Because that scene from Grease is all about making compromises with for each other. And that's what their relationship dynamic is about, making compromises for each other.
And it's
very fitting.
The sport of karjitsu, that's what it is.
Karjitsu.
Karjitsu.
Oh.
It's a niche style of submission wrestling that takes place within a mid-sized sedan.
Okay. I mean, by the end, you do see Deadpool wrapped up in all the seatbelts.
Right, exactly. So, again, just utilizing these really interesting techniques and these really, you know, strange ways of kind of fighting, but making it its own thing. It was...
Oh, here's another... Sorry, no, I won't get off topic. We're still talking about stunts.
If you guys don't have anything else, I mean, that was kind of it. I mean, from the get-go...
Nice pool.
From Nice Pool.
So Canadian.
So not
so sorry okay. about that.
Sorry about but I love again, this is the main appeal of Ryan Reynolds is
his charm.
His charm, but also the fact that he is able to point fun or make fun of himself.
Yeah.
He is the first person to be self-degrading.
Yeah, for sure.
Before anyone else has a chance to, and that's what makes him
he rolls high on charisma.
Oh, yeah. That's his highest stat if you were playing D&D. He'd be a bard,
yeah,
no
absolutely.
Question.
What else you guys got? What else do we think? What else do we want to talk about? Because I hit all my points. I want to talk about the box office.
Well, I was going to go back to you asked about like things we would have done differently. So I did think of another thing that I would have done differently is, and this is comic accurate, is the end when he goes to pull the timelines together and Paradox says you will be atomized. It is there. Deadpool has literally regrown from a single atom.
Yes.
And I thought that's where they were going to go with that.
Oh, probably. But, I also knew by the time they were saying, like, you have to connect both of these, that was the whole message of the movie, is you have to work together. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, once I saw that he couldn't reach the other one, I'm like, okay, yeah, so Wolverine is going to get in there and do it himself. Or not do it himself, but help.
I love, like, I think you probably appreciated the Star Trek reference too. And I knew I knew it was coming. I was like, this feels very much like Wrath of Khan right now.
Oh, very much was.
And then he says, or maybe I'm Spock. And I was like, yeah, there it is.
And the dumb elevator gag that he's doing, you know, like, or escalator gag, I should say. It's like, oh my God. Milk it. Yep.
Yep.
Of course.
I'm stalling.
Yeah, I'm actually nervous about dying. So I guess that leads me into the last thing I want to talk to you guys about on today's episode. And if we want to do more, if you guys listening, if you want more Deadpool, let us know. I'm happy to do more. Mm-hmm. Where do you see Deadpool going in the Marvel Universe? Are we going to see more of Deadpool? Are we going to see more Deadpool and Wolverine?
I would love to see more Deadpool and Wolverine.
I know you want to, but realistically, what do you think?
I think he is going to be on the sidelines for a bit.
I think he'll be a big part of Secret War.
Oh, for sure. Secret War, but I'm saying for now, he's going to be on the sidelines.
Sure. Like, okay.
And even maybe in Doomsday, he'll be even further on the sidelines, like as just kind of a, you know, poke his head in, say hi, and then leave. Kind of like what they did in Infinity War. There were a lot of characters there, but they just kind of poked their head in, said hi, or did like a short action sequence and then.
Okay.
Left.
So
he'll be in Secret Wars for sure.
You think so?
Oh yeah.
I mean, there is that the one tease that's like, hey, so I heard in Secret Wars they're going to finally introduce, and then you know the stop, hey, turn your cell phones off, that kind of gag. So yeah. I am assuming that's what you're referencing.
Absolutely.
Deadpool's a big part of Secret Wars, so I'm pretty sure he's going to be in that. And then what I think they would do after Secret Wars is have Deadpool 4 and make it Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe so that they can then reboot everything.
I don't know.
Gosh. So he would have like a one-on-one fight with Kevin Feige.
Yeah. Or maybe the Kevin bot.
Well, the Kevin bot is Kevin Feige.
True. Yeah. So the Kevin bot, he would have a one-on-one.
That would
fight.
Be interesting.
Seems kind of heavy handed for sure.
It is, but you know what? The biggest problem with the MCU has just been the fact that it is kind of oversaturated. It is getting to the point where it's hard to be excited.
Well, but so what do you think? I mean, do you really think that if they rebooted Iron Man, people would be just as excited as the first time?
Probably not.
Exactly. So what would the point be? I feel like that would be the final nail in the coffin, and then don't do Marvel for years. If you actually go down that path, you can't do Marvel for a long time.
They're not going to do the MCU.
It would be a soft reboot because they have to somehow converge the X-Men universe. And
which they've done with this, though.
They've started to. But I think Deadpool Kills the Marvel Cinematic Universe would then lead into all of the Fox, would then fully converge the Fox franchise into the Marvel.
I disagree because we're getting Fantastic Four next year,
right?
Finally, and that's going to be part of the MCU. Granted, another universe.
And I should tell you did I tell you my theory on that?
What?
On Fantastic Four?
Oh, that they caused the mutant X gene to activate?
No. Oh. So I think Tony Stark is a so Fantastic Four takes place in an alternate retro universe. And I think Tony Stark is going to be the Doom in that universe, and he's going to send the Fantastic Four to the 616 universe, where we'll get then the main 616 Doctor Doom, because that Doctor Doom has been alluded to in Moon Knight in I think maybe Falcon Winter Soldier. There was something else. I know Moon Knight for sure.
Yeah.
There's been some hints at a Doctor Doom that already exists in 616.
Hmm. Interesting.
So the reason why I wanted to bring up what do we think?
Yeah.
I wanted to bring that up is because I was reading the article, this article that was talking about how the concern isn't for the movie itself, and it's, you know, it is what it is, but how Deadpool's going to fit into the rest of it. Yeah. And it's they put it that, I don't know, he's very much like Tony Stark, where he's volatile and self-obsessed, and he doesn't play well with others. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of Tony Stark's kind of whole shtick.
Yeah.
So do we have room in the MCU for another one, you know, that we've basically essentially replacing that character with this one, but also that Deadpool, you know, drops fucks and shits and cunts and pegging, mm-hmm. you know, willy fucking nilly.
Yeah.
And it is what it is.
It's new for Disney.
And while Kevin Feige is okay with it in the context of Deadpool, is Marvel going to be able to play with Deadpool? Is Deadpool going to be able to play with Marvel?
I have a theory about
without that. Making Deadpool, you know, less of a character. And if so, if it is the PG-13 version, do you guys actually want that version?
I say yes.
Okay.
It is possible because they did it well enough with
Once Upon a Deadpool.
Once Upon a Deadpool, but also the Deadpool video game.
Okay.
They did a lot of self-referential humor that was a little naughty. It was crass, but they did it in such a way that, you know, they could keep the T rating because that game is rated T.
Interesting.
But you still see dismemberment and you see him like putting himself back together. And,
well, yeah, but bodily but harm, swearing, violence and all of that. That's one thing. You can't say cunt on TV though.
No, you can't.
God forbid.
I know. Unless you're British.
or New Zealand.
Or New Zealand. But
hey, Carl.
What I'm saying is you can have Deadpool in a PG-13 movie if you're creative enough with the censorship.
Fuck shit, censorship.
I know. But what I'm saying is, like, you know, he's about to swear and then someone or something interrupts
him. Or looks at him in a way.
And, you know,
but I think
the MCU has said
it.
Fuck before.
Once.
Once.
What did they call it? An educated wish? My educated wish is that they would embrace the rated R.
Sure.
And just go rated R with
so grow with your audience, you mean?
Because the people
you
who grew
isolate half of the available audience,
but the people who grew up with the MCU are now old enough to watch all the rated R stuff.
Well, of course they are. But what about the kids now? What about
what about
kids
and
teens now?
But then you give the teens the Young Avengers, which they have already started establishing.
Are you talking about Scar and
well, Scar's one of them, but Kate Bishop.
Miss Marvel,
America Ferrara. No, that's the actress.
You got this
from Multiverse of Madness.
Yes, America Chavez.
Speed and Wiccan are both in the Young Avengers. You could have Ironheart is in the Young Avengers. Harley from Iron Man 3 could be in the Young Avengers.
But still, again.
And Spider-Man leads the Young Avengers with he becomes like the Nick Fury of the Young Avengers.
Interesting.
And you could have I think White Vision is also part of the Young Avengers comics.
How many times did he just say Young Avengers?
Oh no, we need a counter.
Take a shot. No, don't do that. You'll die.
Young Avengers.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see for sure what direction they go. We still have a couple. I think 2 years before. Doomsday is supposed to come out
2026.
Yeah, 26. So it's interesting to see. If you guys find anything out, don't tell me. I go in blind, blind as I can for Marvel. I like the surprises. I like not knowing.
Yeah.
Let's do ratings real quick for Deadpool and Wolverine because we got to get out of here. Luke, kick us off. Set the tone. Set the bar. Give us a 10 out of 10. I know you want to.
9 3/4.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
I knew he was going to do another fucking reference. I knew it. All right, Luke, what's your rating?
9 3/4.
Is it really? I thought you were just doing a bit.
No, it is.
You're going 9.75 out of 10.
9.75 out of 10. Really? I thought it was my favorite X-Men, my favorite mutant movie is still Logan. It holds such a special place
for me. I thought it was New Mutants.
Logan will always be my favorite, but this, it has become my second favorite mutant movie.
Yeah.
It's so close to perfection. I mentioned the places where I would have done some improvements, but it is so close to being perfect for me as a Deadpool movie.
Yeah. If it were closer, so for me, this would have been a 10 out of 10.
Okay.
If it were closer to having the heart of the first movie.
Okay.
If it had that, we would have had a 10 out of 10. So I have to give it a 9.
All right.
I'm not even going to go 9.5 or 9.75.
9.75.
I'm going to give it a solid 9.
Okay.
Because there was some action that bothered me. The shaking cam bothered me in the climax. But
you don't like the climax?
Shut up. Where is your...
We're talking about Deadpool.
We're talking about Deadpool, who has the filthiest mind.
I'm on theme, bitch.
All right. So do we all know George Carlin's words you can't say on TV?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so I think you guys are, I think you have rose-colored glasses on. I had a lot of fun with this movie. I really did. I laughed at almost everything. I got most of the references. Fights were great. Costumes were fun. You know, Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman were fantastic.
Yeah.
But the movie as a whole, it just bothers me. It just isn't a solid story. It isn't a solid character study. You only get glimpses of actual, you know, grounded characters. Where you start from and where you end is convoluted. You know, it definitely kind of gets up its own ass with it, with its references and its jokes and its pop culture, you know, nonstop. I mean, you kind of can't take a breath, you know. Yeah.
I'm willing to forgive it though because of how funny it was and for most of the action. But I also absolutely see where you're coming from. So are you saying you're giving like a 7, an 8?
So coming out of the theater, we saw it together and we're both like, yeah, this is actually really good. I think it could top out at a 9. I don't think I'm as high on it this first viewing. And I think subsequent viewings is going to lower it a little bit more to kind of wear off some of that magic and some of that sheen. Someone we saw with it as well was like, yeah, it's 10 out of 10. Then the next day he's like, actually, I'm going to give it like probably like an 8, maybe
a
9.
That's the majority of audiences.
Exactly.
They're going to give it that 10 out of 10 at first.
And then they're going to kind of come down and kind of come off the edge.
They're going to edge.
So I...
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I'm definitely not as high as you guys are on it. I'm not low. It's not one of the worst things I've ever seen. I'm looking at my ratings right now, and I don't know if I liked it more than Avatar 2. I don't know if I liked it more than...
It's way better than Avatar 2.
Furiosa.
Oh, it's way better than Furiosa.
Honestly, around
you know what?
That,
oh my God, we didn't even talk about the Furiosa
references. Honestly, if we're being honest, those kind of references kind of dragged it down a little bit. It's like you couldn't be more original than this. Yes, it's kind of funny, but you know, I thought they lived in that world a little bit too long. I thought that they could have done a bigger style. I thought it was a little bit bland, personally. I think I'm going to give it an 8.5 out of 10.
Okay.
And I feel comfortable about that right now, but honestly, I'm kind of wavering around 8.25, but I'm just looking at everything else. I'm like, I think I liked it a little bit more than things like, I think I did like it a little bit more than Avatar 2, which I have it an 8.25. I think I did like it more than Civil War, the actual Civil War from this year.
Yeah, Alex Garland's movie.
I don't know if I like, about Furiosa, I think that there were great moments that were accentuated by, you know, a lot of pop culture references, a lot of fan service, and it just kind of got dragged down from an actual, like, critical standpoint.
I can definitely see where you're coming from.
It was my favorite Mad Max movie.
I'm gonna hurt you. I thought your favorite Mad Max movie was Waterworld.
Yes, but I even like this better than Waterworld. And I love Waterworld.
One of these days, we're going to have, like, a movie fight where it's just arguing about good and bad movies or what makes a movie good and bad in the eyes of ourselves and in the eyes of the audience. Mm-hmm.
But that's what makes this so good for me is Deadpool and Wolverine are two parts of myself that I connect to so much.
Oh, yeah.
And seeing them both on screen together is just like a dream come true for me.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have cameras on, but Luke is decked out. He's got a Deadpool baseball cap and a Wolverine t-shirt, which is spectacular. Mm-hmm. It's the brown and yellow one.
I'm not even wearing I wore my Deadpool jacket as well as what I'm wearing today.
Yeah, but it's July in Colorado, and it's, what, 97
outside?
Yeah, it's hot.
I'm done with hot weather. I need November to be here.
I need to cool down just a bit. I don't know if I'm ready for snow and winter yet, but I definitely need to cool down. So, for what it's worth, IMDb is more. I actually have it higher than IMDb does. IMDb's got it at an 8.2. So you guys can suck it. Look at me like that, like I'm crazy. So that's Deadpool and Wolverine. Thank you guys very much for sticking out with this madness as we just riffed off of each other. But I enjoyed it, guys. I appreciate it.
I really did. I think Deadpool could teach She-Hulk a thing or two about metahuman Joe.
Don't forget to go check out our last couple episodes. We had Kinds of Kindness a couple weeks ago. We had Twisters last Sunday, actually. So we had a fill in a Sunday hole. Deadpool and Wolverine is obviously here already. We are
what we call it, glory hole.
Jesus Christ! Sunday I can't hole even get through glory my hole.
In any case, Brandon,
we're going through our time travel movies over at Movie Club. If you guys have a time travel movie that you guys want us to talk about, please let us know. We've got a few slated up. We've got Tenet. We've got Arrival, and we've got I keep forgetting the third one.
Primer.
I can't remember what the I don't remember what the third one is. It's something fun.
Looper.
I'm totally blanking off the top of my head. Looper's a great one. We'll have to do a shout out to all the good time travel movies that we haven't got to. But we only have so much time. We have so many episodes that we can record. We only have so many episodes we can release in a week. So there's definitely a lot of good stuff there. I'm not 100% sure what we're doing next week on Thursday, but I'm sure it'll be fun. It'll be good. Yeah. So stick around. If there's anything you guys want us to talk about, let us know in the comments. We're all over socials. We've got YouTube. We've got Facebook. We've got Instagram. You can listen to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Email us at watchmoviespod@gmail.com. All the information will be in the show notes. You guys have a wonderful rest of your day. Enjoy the movies. If you go see Deadpool again, just make sure, bring a friend, laugh out loud, have fun with it. Enjoy it.
Yeah. Sit back, relax, turn your brain off, and have fun.
Have a great time. All right, enjoy the movies. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, 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 bye.
Bye, bye, bye. How did I miss that?
Oh, my God.
How did I miss that?